Well, today is tax day. April 15th, right? If you haven't filed your taxes yet, it's not too late. You still have midnight tomorrow night.
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. How about that? An extra night. I feel better already. Every year, when I prepare my taxes, it helps me take stock of how I use my money. Or rather, how I use the money that God allows me to manage. Because after all, everything that I have belongs to God. Many years ago now, our 12-year-old grandson visited us in Fairbanks. He's from Ketchikan, Alaska, about 1,200 miles away. He didn't have any friends in Fairbanks, so we talked to some friends of ours and invited their 10 or 12-year-old son to come bowling with us because we thought that would be a good activity for them. Charlie and Corey were about the same age, and while Bert and Lizzie taking our turn bowling, the boys kind of disappeared. We couldn't find them. And when I finally tracked them down, they were both just seething. They were grumpy and really unhappy. Not only would they not talk to each other, they wouldn't even look at one another. It was a very pleasant way to spend the rest of the afternoon bowling. You know, you try to do something good. It was only on the way home that I finally pried out of Corey what had happened. I had not thought to give any spending money to Corey so that he'd have some to buy whatever. He wanted some candy, but didn't have any money to buy it. Charlie had money. Corey said, "Can I use some of your money to buy candy?" Said, "Sure." And Charlie bought the candy for Corey, gave the candy to Corey. Charlie said, "Can I have some?" Corey said, "No." And then Charlie, of course, got mad. Corey would not budge on the issue. And I said, "Corey, you would have had no candy whatsoever if Charlie had not purchased that for you. Don't you think it's reasonable that as a thank you to him, you would have said, 'Sure, have some'?" I'm not sure that Corey got it at the time. Now he's in his 20s and he's a reasonable human being. Fortunately. I think that's really what God is talking about in the scripture that R.W. read this morning. God gives us good gifts. Everything we have is a gift from God. Giving back to God according to God's statutes or God's rules is an appropriate way for us to say thank you for God's gifts. And it shows our recognition of God's authority over our lives. The first time the tithe shows up in the Bible is Leviticus 27:30. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. Everything belongs to God. God had Moses make very clear to the Israelites God's expectation that they would thank God by giving the prescribed amount of 10% of what God had given to them. So centuries later, God has Malachi remind the Israelites, you are robbing me. God created a biblical mandate. When we don't comply, we are robbing God. But God offers an opportunity for the Israelites and us to get right with God. God adds the promise in that scripture, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Now hear me clearly. I am not preaching abundance theology before. You have heard it on the television, I am certain. That's not what this is. There is no magic equation that says the more I give, the more I will get. That is not how God necessarily works. Rather, God is simply saying when we are obedient, we are blessed. God faithfully provides for our needs. I'm a cradle Presbyterian. I grew up in a tithing family. It was not overt in my family. My parents never, to my recollection, wrote out their check for the offering plate in my presence. I don't know what they gave, but I know that they tithed because I knew that God wanted me to tithe as soon as I was working. So I had an after-school job in high school. I got about $75 every 2 weeks. So the Sunday after payday, I took out my brand new checkbook, because I had money, right? And I wrote out my check to my church for $7.50. About twice a month or every 2 weeks. I don't know why I knew that that was so important, but it was truly very important to me that I tithed. So the treasurer of the church, after some months, came to me and took my hand and said, "Sweetheart, thank you for your check of $7.50 every 2 weeks, but it's really not very much money. And your parents give very well. They pledge, they tithe. Why don't you just keep your money?" Yeah, don't do that. Don't ever do that. I was really kind of crushed. I thought, this is what I have, and it's too insignificant for her. And in my heart of hearts, I know that she was just trying to be nice, but it did not feel good. And so I kept on giving anyway. When I married Bert, I joined his family, which was a family of four, and we had a 9, 11, 16, and 18-year-old children. The 18-year-old was already at college and out of the house, so I had preteens and a teenager at home and a mortgage that I joined up with in that family, and I brought to the marriage a car loan and a student loan. Bert and I were both working, and at that time, when I first got there, we were giving the church more money than I had ever dreamed of from my single life as a brand new nurse, basically. But it was not a full tithe. So Bert and I had a good sit-down, heart-to-heart conversation about tithing. And we decided then that it was a priority to work toward tithing. So we started increasing a little amount at a time until finally we did accomplish our goal of giving back to the church 10% of our income for God's work. I am not patting myself on the back here. I know many, many, many people tithe. It's not so special. But I only want to show that it is possible to reprioritize our choices in order to be able to tithe. It doesn't happen easily. It doesn't happen immediately. But it is possible to do. I also know that many people simply do not have enough income themselves to live on. Their basic needs, not their wants, but their needs cannot be met with their current income. If that is truly your case, please do not feel pressured or guilty about this sermon. Give what you can for God, but God does not want anyone to truly suffer in order to accomplish the tithe. That said, I have a little demonstration about giving to God. I have to put on my apron. Because this is a tale of two pies. RW, it's going to be a lot later. Take it out of the bag, too. Please. This is my pie. Or as some people say, my pa. Right, Shelley? Bert worked very hard to earn his retirement income. I work hard. I earned this pie. I went to Barry's Pies in Prescott, and I bought this pie with my money. This is my pie. So what do all of us do with our pies? We pay for stuff, right? Isn't that what we do? Right. So the biggest portion of my pie goes to our mortgage. So I know that that's a big mortgage. That is a big chunk of pie. But housing, hey, it's very expensive. It's very important. You wouldn't want me living in an unsafe neighborhood. You wouldn't want me to live in substandard housing. Obviously, you don't want me living on the streets. So I also use my house for God because I entertain visitors, and my neighbors come by, and when I'm visiting with people, you know, I end up talking about God a lot. So, you know, that part of the pie, that's really, really important. The next big hunk of pie comes for my car. Many of you know that almost as soon as I got here, because I sold my old car before I left Mesa, I bought a new car. Another big hunk of pie. But you know, I need a trustworthy vehicle. You wouldn't want me broken down on the side streets somewhere or out on the highway, heaven forbid. You need a reliable vehicle. I go to meetings for Presbytery. I go up and down that 17 four times a month at least. And I know some people do more. And so it's Presbytery meetings. I'm using it for God. I give people rides. I go visiting. I serve communion to people that are shut in. I use my car for God. So God must want me to have that brand spanking new Prius. Besides, it's environmentally sound. It's important. And you notice my door, right? I advertise for the church. Of course God wants me to have that brand spanking new car. It's important. I got to do it. The next piece, well, it's my food allowance. You don't want me to be hungry, right? That's, you know, it's a fairly healthy portion. If I can get it out. Okay, yeah, I've got my food allowance. You wouldn't want me to be hungry. I bring treats for fellowship or gatherings. I give to the food bank, you know, the first month. You know, that comes out of my food budget. And I have folks to dinner. So, you know, it's really important that I have a substantial food budget, right? You agree? Of course. Of course. Okay. Now, this. You know, it's just so important to me, my clothing allowance, right? You do not want me in last year's duds. Yeah. So that's a pretty substantial amount, but you don't want your pastor, you know, looking fuddy-duddy, right? You want me to be professional and look good and present a good persona to the congregation, right? It's very important for God that I look good and not old-fashioned. I deserve that hunk of pie. Now, my travel. You know that I love to travel. I make that trip down the 17 all the time. But I also go to Alaska every summer because that's where my friends and family are. And on occasion, we'll take a cruise or we'll go to Mexico or just up to Sedona. You know, I need my recreation. I need my travel budget. So God wants me to have it. Really, this is where I get my Sabbath rest, right? Because pastors are busy people and they work 7 days a week. So then I accumulate it all, and God wants me to have my travel budget, of course. And let's see. Well, my entertainment budget. You don't want me to be bored, right? Who wants to be bored? So my entertainment, you know, I need cable. I need, I might need a little more than that, actually. You know, because I go out for lunch a lot and Starbucks. Starbucks. Now that is, you're right, it's entertainment and it tastes good. Yeah, I love Starbucks. Somebody knows me. Yep. So, you know, movies, bowling, you know, I have that motorcycle that I got to keep going to, and that's entertainment for me. So, yeah, it's, you know, but I'm a member of the Christian Motorcyclists Association. So by golly, that motorcycle, I use it for God. So, you know, God is all, just 100% behind me. I use this for God. So that's my pie. What did I forget? A tithe. Offering something to God. Oh, that's right. I gotta give something back to God. Wow. Okay. Let's see. It's really important to give to God, you know. And I know he wants 10%, but I have these other priorities, you know. I know God wants me to give 10%, but somehow there's just some crumbs left. Huh. So do any of you have a weekly activity that happens where you bring things you don't need anymore and put them in a big black container and roll it out to the street? What do we call that? Trash, garbage, collection, right? When they come around. What do we call our plates in church? Not if we're wise. RW, would you bring forward the collection plate, please? Show it off so people see it. This is my collection for God. Thank you. Now you can take it back out. There was an apologetic member who went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I just cannot afford to give 10% of my income to God. Would it be okay if I gave a quarter instead?" And the pastor said, "Sure, 25%. Awesome." But God doesn't ask for a quarter of what God has given us, but God would use it if we did give it. God doesn't even ask for half of that, 1/8 of what God gives to us, but God would use it if we gave it. God asks for 1/10. In his word. It is a biblical mandate, and we have a special word for it called the tithe. I always thought that a good stewardship drive would be titled Move the Decimal. Maybe it's the math teacher in me. Do I talk too much to Ron? So if every time we were notified by the bank that we had a direct deposit, or we got that paycheck in our hands, or whatever money came in, if we looked at that amount and moved the decimal point one place to the left and wrote our check for that amount, that would be the tithe. It would come off right from the top. And you theoretically would not even notice it, right? So if we made it our habit, it would be much easier than trying to figure out how to scrape up the crumbs at the end of the month instead of taking the 10% off the top. George was a hard worker. He struggled in the beginning, but then he climbed the corporate ladder. He started out tithing because he knew it was important. He gave his 10%. But then as he climbed the ladder, it got harder and harder for him to write that check because those checks got bigger and bigger as he climbed that corporate ladder and got more income. Eventually, he became the CEO of his corporation and brought in seven figures. And he finally went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, now that I'm making so much money, I simply cannot afford to give the church the full tithe. 10% of my income is simply too much money to give to the church." So the pastor said, "Oh, George, I'm so sorry that's happening for you. I will pray that God will reduce your income until you can afford to pay your tithe." So let's start over again with this pie. This pie is not my pie. This pie is God's pie. God gave us the capacity to buy this pie. God gave us the capacity to then turn around and give back to God what God requires of us. So here's how we divide this pie. This is half a pie. God doesn't ask for half of our pie or his pie. That is one quarter of God's pie. But God doesn't ask for a quarter of God's pie back. This is an eighth of God's pie. God doesn't even ask for an eighth of God's pie back. To the best of my ability, this is a tenth of God's pie. It really doesn't look like very much when it's the first part to come out. This is what's left over. 90% of all that God gives us, God allows us to keep for our own usage. He wants us to use it well, but it's our decision for that 90%. And it's so much easier when the 10% comes off right from the beginning. Right off the top. So, how can you rise to the top of your giving? How can you reprioritize your life to give to God what is due to God? Hear again the promise from God in Malachi. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." Sit back and watch what God will do. Will the usher please bring the offering plate forward? Here is God's portion of God's pie. Thanks be to God.